the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Lots of people have immediately said to me, "You're not here, you're at DCYC." I was at DCYC yesterday, and I got a phone call at 7 o'clock today from a very panicky Clive thinking that I wasn't going to be here tonight. So don't worry, I am here, so we do have a service. Now, if you were here last week, you would have heard Saz begin our series in Proverbs. We're looking at how Proverbs helps us to make life work. This is the kind of companion book that goes along with the series by Bill Hybels. And it's just looking at how Proverbs just gives us lots of advice, lots of lessons for making life just work better for us. It's advice from God, so it can only be for our benefit to follow it. So we're looking at Proverbs 12. Thank you guys for doing the reading for me, because I hadn't really planned when I was going to do that. So that worked out really well. And we're thinking about speaking truth today. We're thinking about speaking truth. And when I was sort of looking at this throughout the week, I thought, what does our world, what does this society we live in think of truth and honesty? So I went onto the old internet and tried to find some statistics about honesty and lying and the way that we see it in our world. And this is the sort of thing I found. So 60% of adults can't have a 10-minute conversation without lying. That was a study where they got lots of people to have a 10-minute conversation, and they found that 60% couldn't have that 10-minute conversation without lying. On average, most of them lied 3 times. The second one is 86% of people regularly lie to their parents. This might be a bit worrying if you're a parent. I see some people shaking their heads. Third one, 40% of people lie in their CV. Not so good if you're an employer. By the age of 4, 90% of children can tell lies. I believe that one. And 90% of online dating profiles contain lies. I won't say any more about that. So, and the last one, all in all, if we can move it on, the average person lies 1,460 times a year. That's the average person. So maybe we're all perfect, and there's a lot of other people who lie a lot more than that. But I would hazard a guess that most of us probably do tell more lies than we might think, and lie somewhere near that number in the course of a year. Maybe not, but that's the statistics I found online. If they're lies, then it kind of just proves my point that there's lots of lies in the world. So we live in a world where lying is kind of commonplace. It's kind of seen as okay. If it gets you ahead and it doesn't hurt anyone, then it's fine, really. And dishonesty is almost like a tool that we use, like a social interaction tool, where we think, right, if I can boost my chances of getting this job, then I'll just tell a little lie. Or if I can make myself look a little bit better to the person I'm meeting, I'll just exaggerate the truth a little bit. And as long as it doesn't hurt anyone, it's not so bad. That's the way the world sees things. But it's clear from the verses we've just been reading in Proverbs 12 that this isn't the case. This isn't the way the Bible portrays lying and dishonesty. It's not the way that God sees it. Let's look at Proverbs 12:22. It says, "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy." He detests lying lips. And in other translation, that it says that lying is an abomination to the Lord. So it's using really strong language in that proverb to show that God hates lies and he hates dishonesty. It's really important. And you can understand why. If you think back to Genesis 3, when the first sin was committed, when the fall of man happened, it was all because of dishonesty, because of lies. The serpent deceived Adam and Eve, and they tried to hide from God. It's all about deception and lies, and that's what caused us to be separated from God in the first place. So it's no surprise that God hates dishonesty and hates lies, because it's what drives that barrier between us and him. So as we look at this chapter in Proverbs today, I want to be thinking about three main things. And they're quite simple questions. What is so bad about lying? What is so good about honesty? And what is so hard about speaking the truth? Three simple questions. And because I don't want to be doing all the work, for each of those questions, I'm going to ask you guys a question, which I want you guys to talk about with the people around you, or you can just think about it. Don't worry, I'm not going to get you to share any revealing truths or confess 20 lies you've told. It's just general ideas that I want us to think about, so I can just hear what you guys think as well. Let's look at that first question, and what's so bad about lying? And this is the first question I want us to discuss now. What damage can lies do? So I'll just give you 30 seconds, minute, with the people around you to just discuss that question, and then it'd be good to hear some people's answers. Okay. Would anyone like to share something that they've heard or said or talked about? Breaks trust, excellent. So lies can break trust. Ruin lives? Yeah, you can like build up this web of lies, can't you? Good. So, as we just heard, lies can, what was the first one? Wreck trust, break trust, ruin people's lives. You can get yourself trapped in this web of lies. Excellent. So, lies, well, it's not excellent. But you know what I mean. So lies do wreak havoc on people's lives. And I want to look at a verse that Saz highlighted last week. We're just going to look at the first part now, the second part in a minute. So the words of the reckless pierce like swords. The words of the reckless pierce like swords. So others can be really, really harmed by lies that we tell. They damage relationships. They break trust, as we've said, and they can push other people away. Like a sword, they can pierce and create real wounds that fester and really hurt. Sometimes when I'm on the school holidays, and this is a bit of a confession, I sometimes watch a bit of Jeremy Kyle. I'm sorry. And I haven't done it in a long time. It's, you know. It's a pretty bad show, but one of the features that they have is that they do lie detectors. And they have a family or a friendship and that's been sort of allegations of lies, and they do this lie detector. And the one thing that always happens when somebody is shown to be lying is that the other person breaks down, and you can see how it destroys them. You never see a lie detector where the person goes, oh, well, never mind, it's only a little lie. It's always damaging, it's always really bad, and the fallout is always huge. Lies can really, really damage people, and like a sword can pierce, they create real wounds. Proverbs 15, verse 4, it says, a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. So our words have real power. They can crush people's spirits and pierce like swords. Real power in our words. So we need to really be careful of how we use them. And lying is something that can do real damage. And in our world, it's kind of accepted that lying's okay most of the time. Sometimes it can be used for good. But that's not the way the Bible says it. It's deceitful words can crush the spirit. Proverbs 12, verse 13, says that evildoers are trapped by their sinful talk, and so the innocent escape trouble. This is like what Rosie said. The lies can actually harm the liar. It's like every lie you tell is like a little string in a web, and you tell one lie to one person and then another to another, and it builds up until you've got this huge web of lies where you can't really turn back on it, because if you pull one strand down, it all collapses. So you can get trapped in this web of lies and feel like all these lies are weighing down on you and there's nothing you can do about it. So not only do they damage other people, lies can also cause damage to yourself. So the only way to avoid that is to remain innocent, to be honest. So that's what lies can do on a human basis. But I think one of the main ways in which lies can harm is in our relationship with God. So let's, of course, remember that it's not what we do that saves us, it's what Jesus has done. So it's not that lying will stop us from being saved, because Jesus has saved us, and as long as we trust in him, then that's secure. But I think that it can really harm the relationship that we're trying to build with God. If we've accepted his forgiveness, then we need to be trying to be more like him every day and trying to reflect who Jesus is so that other people can see that. And if we're being dishonest, then that's going to drive a wedge in that relationship and stop us from growing spiritually. We've read that God hates dishonesty. If we're dishonest people, it's going to be difficult for us to have that good relationship with God. So as well as that, as well as stopping us from having that good relationship, it also stops us from being good witnesses. How are we supposed to show others the way to truth when we've got dishonesty in our hearts? It's hypocritical. And if, in my opinion, I think one of the main things that people are put off about Christianity is when they see Christians being hypocrites. So if we're telling about the truth, we're speaking to people about the truth, but actually we're dishonest in the rest of our life, it's going to make us look like hypocrites. So we need to try and rid ourselves of lies and deceit. So we've established that lying is bad. Those are some of the reasons. That's what it can do. So let's think about the other side now. Let's think about what is so good about honesty. So we go on to the next one. Here's a question I want you to talk about. How can honesty bring healing? And this is because of the verse. If we go back one, sorry. The second half of Proverbs 12:18, which I said we'd look at in a minute, is, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So if lies can pierce like swords, then how does honesty bring healing? So that's what I want to talk about now. How can honesty bring healing? And it'd be great to hear from a few of you in a minute. Okay. Would anyone like to share their thoughts? This is a bit more of a tricky question. It would be great if someone has anything to say. So Emily was just saying, lies are like, you can cover things up that you've done. So by being honest about it, you're allowing other people to help you and to you're being vulnerable to them. And it works the same the other way. Is that about what you're saying? Yeah, good. Yeah, so sometimes it can be really difficult to lie because it might hurt other people, like friends. So that's a good example of where lies can be difficult, and we'll go on to think about that in a little bit. Paula, do you have something to say?
So with honesty, it can act as a mediator. You can be a mediator and you can speak truth into that situation, and it also helps build up trust. And trust is huge. Without trust, you can't have that deep relationship because lies come in between. So honesty really does bring healing.
Thank you. Yes. So like Paula was just saying, people who've been lied to will often lack that trust in others. It so often happens that once somebody's been lied to and they found out, that trust just goes away and they don't trust the other person anymore. And it's only when that person is spoken to truthfully and honestly and they see people following through on their promises that they can start to rebuild that trust. So we've been on the marriage course, and on the DVD there's a couple that talk about an affair that the husband has had, and the wife talks about how more than anything she's just lost all trust in her husband, and that was the worst thing, was that she just couldn't trust him anymore. And the way that they talked about how they restored their relationship was by rebuilding that trust through talking to each other honestly and openly. So where dishonesty creates wounds and breaks relationships, the only way to rebuild that and to rebuild that trust is through honesty. So that's one way in which it can bring healing. Let's look at verse 13 again, if we can. Evildoers are trapped by their sinful talk, and so the innocent escape trouble. Let's look at that second part now. So the innocent escape trouble. It's interesting because when I was looking at those statistics that we looked at the start, one of the main reasons it said that people lie is to escape trouble. And as we just said, it might help friends get out of trouble to lie. So how does it make sense then that being honest and being the innocent one will help you to escape trouble? Well, this was clear to me because I see it every day at school, at work. I work with eight-year-olds, and every day I have to deal with petty arguments that they have. And normally I don't get too angry. I'm quite patient with them. They do silly things, and I sort it out. But the one time, well, not the one time, the one thing that actually makes me angry is when they lie to me and when they don't admit to what they've done. So they might steal something from a classmate, and then I hear about it and I say, have you got this? And they say, no, I didn't do that. And then I find it later and I say, you lied to me. And it's not even the fact that they've done what they've done. It's the fact that they've tried to hide it and tried to be dishonest about it. So often, people try to cover up the silly things that they do, and it just ends up getting worse. It makes things worse. We all do silly things. We all mess up. We all sin. And if we lie about it and try to cover it up, then that would just trap us. We'll end up trapped in our lies. However, if we're honest about what we've done, if we own up to the things that we've done, then most of the time the consequences are far less severe, and we're often forgiven. And that's how being honest can then help us to escape the trouble that we're in, because we're being forgiven. We've all messed up and we all deserve punishment from God, but if we ask him for our forgiveness and we confess to our sins, he forgives us and we escape that punishment that we deserve. So being honest is a way of becoming innocent by confessing, by owning up to the things we've done. So honesty is good because it heals pain, it restores relationships which have been broken by dishonesty, and it also helps us to escape from the trouble that we've caused for ourselves by confessing and owning up to what we've done. But again, there's another really important thing which relates to the third point I made about why is lying so bad. It's about how it affects our relationship with God. Where dishonesty pushes us away from God and makes our relationship more difficult with God, honesty brings us closer to him. Let's look at verse 22 again. So the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. So do we want to be saying things that the Lord detests or that the Lord delights in? Because that's the options that we have when we're considering whether to tell a lie or to tell the truth. Do we want our words to be detestable to God or delightful to God? And it's great to know that what we say can be delightful to God and that he can delight in our honesty. So if you're not sure whether you want to tell a lie to somebody or whether to actually tell the truth, just think that if you tell the truth, then God delights in that and he loves that. So if we're trustworthy and the words that we speak are honest, then we are delighting God. So truth is important in our relationship with God, and that's because God is truth. So we read in John 14, verse 6, that Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So if Jesus is the truth, then we need to be reflecting that. It's our mission as Christians to reflect Jesus' image. And this means that we need to shine truth and integrity to the world. If people see us as dishonest, then we're not showing them who Jesus is. And if we want to be walking in line with Jesus and living the way that he wants for us, then we need to be people of honesty and truth. So, lying is bad. Honesty is good. Simple. But we know it's not really that simple because it's hard. Lying is hard. Being honest can be really hard. Okay, sometimes it's the hardest thing to do. And before we think about why is lying so hard, I just want to think about how we can practically go about lying less and being honest more, because it's all good to say, yeah, we need to do it, but how can we go about actually doing that? And that's one of the things that the book Making Life Work deals with quite well. It talks about how we can actually be more honest people and tell fewer lies. I think the reason it is hard is because we're all sinners. And I always find this passage in John helpful. John 3, verse 19 to 21. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus and he says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. So people who do evil, which at some point is all of us, we don't want our deeds to be exposed. So we lie. We try to hide our sins in the darkness. We don't want to be exposed. So that's why all of us have that temptation to lie, because we don't want our deeds to be exposed. So how can we fight that? How can we stop? Well, the first piece of advice is to speak less. Speak less. In Proverbs 10, verse 19, it says, "When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise." So if you want to lie less, talk less. It's simple mathematics. Bill Hybels says in the book, he says this, "If you have 300 conversations per week and you lie 5 times, your lying ratio is 300 to 5. If you have only 200 conversations the next week, you'll bring that number down to 3.3. Have 60 conversations the following week, you'll only lie once. And here's the real beauty of the system. If you want to stop lying altogether, have 59 conversations or fewer." So obviously that's a little bit tongue-in-cheek. It's not quite as simple as that, but the principle is that if we talk less, if we don't say all of the things that come into our heads, if we maybe think about our words a little bit more, then we're likely to tell fewer lies and to speak more truth. So that takes us on to our second bit of advice, to check our words, check what we're saying. Proverbs 15, verse 28 says, "The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil." So let's not be people who gush out all of our thoughts and gush everything that comes into our heads without actually thinking about it. We shouldn't let our words be reckless, like we read in Proverbs 12:18. The words of the reckless pierce like swords. Let's not be reckless and just gush all of our words out. Let's really take time to think about what we're saying. So the book recommends we take two checks when we're about to say anything. You have one check, which is this necessary? Is what you're about to say actually going to contribute anything? If it's not, then you might as well just not say it, okay? The second one is this true? If you're about to say something, you need to check, is what I'm saying actually true? Because if it's not, then you either need to change what you're about to say or not say anything at all. And it takes discipline. It's not something that you can just install like a spell checker. You've got to actually be disciplined and take time to actually decide, right, I'm going to start trying to be more honest. I'm going to try and tell less lies. That means I might have to speak less, have less conversations with people who you maybe lie to regularly. You might have to take more time over your answers and not just jump into conversations so quickly. It's something that's quite difficult, but it's something that we're called to do, so we all need to be trying to do it. So it takes effort. We've got one more question to look at. What is so hard about speaking the truth? So one more thing for you guys to discuss. When might telling the truth be costly? Would anyone like to share anything that they've come up with? You can shout it out, or if you want the microphone, just put your hand up. Whistleblowers, yeah. So if you tell on somebody at your workplace, maybe something that they've done, who are you referencing that might be a cost to? The person or you or both?
Both?
Yeah? Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you whistleblow on a colleague, it could cost them their job. It could also damage your relationship with them. It might make other people wary of you. So, yeah, definitely, that kind of situation. Definitely, yeah. So sometimes being honest with somebody can cost the relationship with them. That might be a family member or a friend, and that can be broken forever.
We chatted about how if perhaps the truth would hurt someone, it goes back to the other question you said about is it necessary? And more likely than not, it's probably not necessary to say it. I don't know.
Okay.
Individual circumstances, obviously.
Yeah, so maybe in some circumstances, it's actually just not necessary to hurt somebody for the sake of it. Maybe in some it is, but depends on the circumstance.
I know what you're saying. You've got to be wise about when you speak truth into something. But certainly I've had friends who said, Paula, I really didn't like what you did. That, you know, that's not you. I'm surprised you've done that. And I've thought about it. And it's been hurtful to hear, but actually it's deepened our relationship. That they could be that truthful for me, with me, and therefore we have built a more trusting and truthful relationship.
It can cost you your life if you're a Christian in another part of the world.
Yeah, definitely. We're really lucky that we can tell people about Jesus, speak truthfully to people, and get away with our lives, whereas there are people in the world who don't have that privilege. If they speak openly about their faith, then it will lead to them being killed. So it can be very, very costly. It can cost everything. So there are lots of times when telling the truth is really difficult, and it can be the hardest thing to do. How do you tell someone that what they're doing is wrong without damaging that relationship you have with them? Can you do that without damaging the relationship? Well, the advice that Proverbs gives us in chapter 3, verse 3 is, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So it's really important that when we're speaking truth to people, we're actually binding kindness into that as well. It's not just about telling somebody what they're doing is wrong, or telling somebody you didn't like what they did, but it's about doing that kindly. Ephesians talks about speaking the truth with love. In other places, it's speaking truth with grace. So grace, truth, love, kindness, all of those things need to go together. Otherwise, we're just going to cause people to be hurt. We're going to break those relationships. We're going to cause damage. And inevitably, speaking truth, even if you're speaking it with kindness and love and grace, sometimes people just don't want to hear it. And relationships might be damaged. But we can definitely limit that damage if we speak with kindness and we speak with love and we speak with grace. We've got to think about our motivations for telling people the truth. Do we really want to tell that person because it's an act of kindness, because you love them? Or are you trying to get one over on them? Or are you trying to maybe make them look bad to someone else. Then really think about, why am I actually telling this person the truth? And is it for the right reasons? And if it's not, then maybe rethink that and come back to it when you're actually ready to approach them with kindness and love. There's also a wider cost, as Rachel mentioned, in the world of speaking the truth. In some countries, it's your life. If you speak about the gospel in some countries, it costs you your life. I've been thinking about what it means in this country, in this sort of society we live in. And I find it's difficult because we kind of live in this modern age of liberalism where everything's okay and everyone has their own version of the truth. And to question anybody's version of the truth is not really seen as okay. We're kind of censored by this kind of tolerance and liberalism that everybody is allowed to have their own truth. And I think that's not really correct, is it? There's only one truth. We know it's the gospel, and as Christians, we're called to preach that gospel, even in a world that tells us that we shouldn't be trying to convince others that our truth is the one truth. So how do we approach that? An example of this, something I saw in the news this week, was an article that said, "Finding Dory misses opportunity to feature Pixar's first gay couple." And lots of people are putting pressure on Pixar, the children's animation company at the moment, to include a gay couple in their children's films, and they wanted them to do it in Finding Dory. And as Christians, we know that the Bible says something about marriage and about relationships between men and women, and we need to stand up for what the Bible says. But there's a temptation to give in to the way of the world, as this next headline shows. Oh, that's not it. We're going backwards now. Some churches, some Christians, are welcoming changes to same-sex marriage laws. They're saying, yeah, we accept this, it's fine now. The Bible was written a long time ago. We need to adapt. But if we want to speak the whole truth, if we want to speak the truth that the Bible tells us, then we need to stand firm to it. We can't compromise, as some people are doing. And that becomes really difficult, because as soon as we start going against what the popular view is, we become quite unpopular. And the gospel we're preaching doesn't seem so nice anymore, so comfortable. But I think it's important that we carry on preaching the uncomfortable gospel, which is that we need to repent from our sins and follow Jesus' way, the only true way, rather than the kind of comfortable gospel that we sometimes hear these days, where you can still live your life and do whatever you want and maintain the same lifestyle. Just you maybe come along to church every now and again and pray, and then that'll be fine. And that's a lie. And people are being lied to that they can maintain whatever lifestyle they want and still be a Christian. When actually, being a Christian is about repentance. It's about turning away from our previous lives. And you can't, if you're facing one way, repentance means turning the other way. And you can't say, I'm facing this way, so Jesus is here with me. Jesus is over there. We need to turn to him and turn away from the lies that we're being told. So it's a difficult one. I don't know the answer, sorry. But I just think we need to be wary that in this world we're being put under pressure to compromise on biblical truths. And that's just one example. There are others that I won't go into. But we need to be making sure that we are sticking to biblical truth and not compromising on what the Bible says. And that's going to be difficult in the coming years. It might lead to persecution in this country. We might be forced to do things that we simply don't want to do. And how are we going to stand against that? Are we going to give in? I think we need to try and stand firm. And that's just going to come from believing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and we need to follow him above all else. So it's a difficult message to end on, but I think the end of that, at the end of the chapter, we get this verse, which is the verse that Nick Goldsworthy gave me, so thank you. It says, "In the way of righteousness there is life. Along that path is immortality." So it might be a difficult path to tread sometimes, a life where we tell the truth and we don't compromise and we don't lie. But that path is the path to immortality, and it is the life where of righteousness, where there is life. So even though it can be difficult on this earth to always maintain the truth and to be honest, that will lead to eternal life and to glory. So we need to remember that even though we might be trodden down by this world for telling the truth, for being honest, for sticking by what the Bible says, that narrow path leads to eternal life, and we can be confident in that.